Our aim is this. It's to help us think clearly about our context. To help us think clearly about our context. And we've thought a little bit about that in our morning session. Do you remember the video that was shown this morning about defining reality? Did you there? Were you there and saw that session? And how the reminder that when John wrote down the letters from Jesus in Revelation, there was not just one letter for everybody, there were seven letters. Why? Because each of those seven churches had different contexts. So if we're going to be useful leaders, if we're going to be godly leaders even, we do need to understand the context in which we operate. Some of the things that we could say about our context are quite easy to say. So, for example, we would all be able to say very quickly, what language do you operate in? And all of us will have a different answer to that. That's an easy question to answer, but it's an important question, isn't it? So if you were in a church that speaks French to the east of Paris, and if I came along and I spoke English, that wouldn't be much help to people who wanted to speak French or could speak French but couldn't speak English. So we all know that context and understanding our context and working with our context is really important. But we need to go a bit more deeply into the subject than simply what language do we speak. So context really matters. Let me explain why context matters. This is my little summary here. Context places boundaries or pressures on people, places, and behaviour. You think about language, that's right, isn't it? Language creates a boundary within which you have to operate. You need to make sure that you are communicating a language that people can understand. And we could say that that is true for any part of our context that we delve into. Now, I find it helpful to think about this in terms of thinking through what is gospel work. So what is gospel work? And these two things that I put here at the bottom, building up the saints, reaching the lost. That is one way. It's not the only way, but it's one way of describing what is gospel work or what is gospel ministry. And we're all involved in this in some way or another, sometimes directly, sometimes indirectly. But at the heart of all gospel work are these two things. It's to encourage believers and to build them up in their faith and in their love for God and their love for people, as Mike was telling us this morning. And it's to reach out to the lost. It's to make connections with the lost, to serve and to love the lost. And when it comes to these two things, building up the saints and reaching the lost, context really matters. Context really matters. Now, in order to help us understand this a little bit more, I'm going to suggest to you there are different kinds of context that we work within. I'm going to make four suggestions. This isn't an exhaustive list. I've not got this from a textbook. I've got this from sitting in my office, sitting on my sofa, and thinking about where I am. And I'm hoping that this will be helpful to you as you think about where you are. So here are four different kinds of context. First of all, I think there is geographical context. Where are you? And different places work in different ways. So, for example, you might be in a city, or you might be in a suburb, or you might be in a village, in a rural area. But where you are makes a difference to the kind of ministry you will do, and also the way in which you will do it. Because remember, context places boundaries and pressures on Christian ministry. So I think if we're going to think carefully about the work that the Lord has called us to do, which is part of what the forum is about, it's enabling you to do the work that God has called you to do and to do it in a good and godly way. We need to be thinking about the kind of place where we are. So geography might affect what country you're in, what region of a country you're in, for example. So there's geographical context. I want to suggest to you that's quite an easy question to answer. It's one of the more simple context questions. So there's geographical context. Then secondly, there is cultural context. A cultural context is about how people operate. So for example, that would include what language you speak. I think that's part of your cultural context. That would be that would include things like society norms or values. So for example, you might operate in a place which has very traditional cultures. When I started in ministry, I worked in a rural setting. It had a very traditional culture. In that particular culture, all the men went out to work and all the women stayed at home, pretty much. This is 20 years ago. I now live in a place, which I kind of prefer, actually, where both men and women go out to work. And so actually the things you can do during the day, for example, in your Christian ministry are much more limited or are different. So do you see how understanding your culture that you're in is going to shape how ministry works? So there's geographical context, there's cultural context, then there is social context. It's not quite the same thing as cultural context. Social context is how people connect with one another. So it might be some overlap, and these aren't narrowly defined. There might be some overlap between cultural and social, and there's probably some overlap between social and geographical. But actually, understanding how the place where you live works, how do people connect together, that makes a real difference to our work and ministry. Let me give you an example. I used to live in London. And London has a big orbital road that goes all the way around the outside. It's called the M25 motorway. It's a massive road. Looks like that. Okay, that's my picture there of the M25. And there are about 15 million people that live within that. So that is the greater London area. It's about that size. But if you were to look at that map and say, how does it work? It works like this. It works along train lines and roads, which look like that. And lots of big cities are very similar. So the trains come into London from all different areas, but they all come into London. The roads all come into London. There isn't really another road that goes all the way round apart from that big road on the outside. So let me just work through an example for you and show you exactly what I mean by how this shapes ministry. So I used to serve in a church which was just there. Can you see that? In the east of London, it was just there. And we were very close on the map to someone who lived there at that top point. Do you see that? We were very close to them, maybe 2 kilometres away. But we never had anything to do with people who were 2 kilometres away. Why is that? It's because they live on that route and we lived on that route. So actually, in terms of the people we were trying to reach as a church, people we were trying to serve, sorry, my little diagram is getting a little bit messy, we had much more in common with someone over here who might have been 10 kilometres away. But they travelled into London on that train line, or they drove into London on that road past our church. So we had much more connection there than we did with the person who lived 2 kilometres up the road. You see? So understanding how places work, how places are connected together, that really matters for ministry. So geographical is about the kind of, that you know, what you might see on a map. If you like, cultural is about how do people operate. Social is about how do people connect with one another. And then finally, there is historical context, which we mustn't ignore. So we were hearing earlier from Poland, really helpful. Christina was asking a question about the context in Poland, and you were saying how it's a Catholic country with a Catholic history. Actually, that sort of fits in that bottom box. But there's no point saying, well, it used to be like this and that doesn't have any impact today. Of course it has an impact today. And you were describing that for us, Christina, really helpfully. So understanding our culture is really important. Our history is really important to understanding our context. So some of you will have grown up in countries or the history of your countries is very different from Poland. Perhaps the religion was very different, or perhaps there was no religion. That was very strong as a theme. I grew up in a country which has a very strong Protestant heritage. Well, that shapes a lot of what goes on. If we're going to minister effectively, we've got to understand our context in all its richness. Now, these are just my four little categories. I don't want you to go away and think, well, I think there are five categories, not four, or I think there are three, not four. I'm just trying to help you think the breadth of your context where you're operating to see how much of a difference it makes to the work that the Lord has called us to do. That's a way to think about our context. Now, why does that matter? But on this diagram, I've got a little chart. And on the left, I've got gospel faithfulness. Gospel faithfulness. Being true to the gospel. Being leaders who are true to the gospel. Exactly the kinds of things that Michael was preaching about last night and we've been hearing about this morning. So there's gospel faithfulness on the left-hand side there. And then on the right, I've got contextualization. That means adapting ourselves to our context. And what I want us to see is that the healthy place for us to be in life and in ministry is somewhere there in the middle, where we're holding firmly to the truth. We haven't let go of that. We're holding firmly to the gospel, but we're also thinking about the context we're in. So here's a little question for you. There are two places that it's possible to be. I've put the two extremes on my little chart. I've put A. So the person who's operating at point A is firmly committed to the truth, loves the word of God, but doesn't want to think at all about their context. All that matters is truth. Okay? Person B is over here. They understand that in order to reach people, you've got to think about context, and that's all that matters. Truth doesn't matter. Adapting yourself to the context, that's what matters. But the best place to be is neither of those. It's to be C, where a church is holding on to the truth, but is thinking about the context it's in. Or a ministry, it's not just a church, a ministry is holding on to the truth, but is thinking about the context it operates in. Now, context works at lots of different levels, doesn't it? So if you take something like geography, each of us is located in multiple levels, each of which shape our thinking, our context. So let me just work this through for me, where I live. I live in the centre of England in a place called Harborough. So it's spelt like that, Harborough. Okay, and it's a particular town. It's a town of 20,000 people. And it is in a district of 100,000 people. So it's one town and it's 98 villages. That's what it's like. It's a market town. It's actually called Market Harbour. It's a market town. People would come. It's a rural area. People come with their sheep and it's a sheep farming area and they would bring their sheep to market. It's that kind of place. But I live in a county, that's a region, called Leicestershire, which is basically a Midlands, mainly industrial part of the UK. It's quite a poor part of the UK because a lot of the industry there used to be has disappeared. So it's got higher unemployment than London, for example, and it's got higher poverty than other parts of the country. So although the place where I live is quite rich, affluent, it's in the context of a poorer county, okay, poorer region. I then could say I live in England, although we tend to say I live in the UK. Depends whether you're in favour of Scotland becoming independent or not. But I say I live in the UK. And the UK has its own culture. There are good things about that. There are bad things about that. I'm not here making an assessment of my culture. I'm just saying this is what it's like and how it shapes people. So I'm going to open up myself to you now as brothers and sisters, okay? I did not vote for Brexit. I'm proud to be a European. But I live in the area of the UK where more people voted for Brexit than anywhere else in the UK. And now, I could assess that politically and what I think about it, but I wouldn't be a good leader if I didn't recognise that that shapes how people think. So here's an example, it's a very simple example. If I was putting on a guest service at church, today at my church as a guest service, we're inviting our friends. If I was preaching at that, I wouldn't do a 10-minute section of my sermon about how wonderful the European Union is, even though secretly I might think that, because I'm thinking about my context, you see? So I'm not assessing what's good or bad, I'm just assessing how it is. So we're in the UK, we're also, we may have left the EU, but we're still in Europe, whatever we were told last night. The UK, I'm still proud to be in Europe, even if I had to queue in a different line at passport control. Still proud to be European. Now, each of those things shapes my context, and that's just taking history. Can you see that? We operate in multiple contexts. And you can begin to see how that shapes how we do ministry. Let's take a different thing. Let's think about Europe as a whole. So let's just operate at this level. What's going on in Europe as a whole? Well, let's assess some of that. Here's a little chart. This is actually a worldwide chart, but it's mirrored by what's happening in Europe. The white line there on the chart is unbelief, people who say they don't believe in anything. And the other line, I'm colourblind, so I don't know what colour this other line is. What colour is this line here?
Green,
thank you. So the green line is actually showing that evangelicalism around the world is growing, and even in Europe it is growing, but it's being outpaced by the growth of unbelief. So that's true around the world. That only went up to 2000. If you did the graph up to 2023, I mean, 2023 years is a long time, isn't it? It looks like this. Sorry, this isn't green, but the graph has just continued on. And many of you will recognise that context where you are. Number of people who are saying, I don't believe in anything. That's growing, actually, across Europe as a whole. Number of people who are evangelicals growing very slightly, but not nearly at the same rate. Now, that is going to shape the kind of work we do. And you're already feeling that, aren't you? Who's feeling that difference in what you're doing? Some of you feeling that? Yeah, some of you feeling that. You already feel that difference in terms of the context in which we're operating. So let's stick with Europe and just let me give you some observations about Europe in general. And again, I'm not commenting on whether these things are good things or bad things. I'm just saying this is what I observe in Europe in general. And therefore shaping, well, for most of us, I know not all of you are for Europe. If you're not from Europe, forgive me, my examples are European. But you can apply the same thing to, the United States or to Kenya or places that you're from. So here are some of the things that I observe in Europe. And you'll see that some of them are actually appear to be contradictory, but you'll recognise them anyway. So what do we see in European context? I think we see an increase in federalism. So 20 years ago, there was no Schengen, and there's now Schengen. So actually, there's an increase in federalism within Europe as a whole. But at the same time, there's also an increase in nationalism, isn't there? Some countries anyway. Some countries that's felt very strongly. Some countries you'll have governments that are more nationalistic than they used to be. So what is shifting? What is changing in our context? I think there's an increase in federalism. I think there's an increase in nationalism. In individuals, there's an increase in relativism. By which I mean, everything's okay. If that's what you want to believe, if that's what you think, that's fine. Just don't bother me with it. Everything's relative. It's interesting, I was doing a Bible study with some teens from our church. We were going through 1 Peter. And I said to them, "How is it hard to be a Christian at school?" And I thought some of them would say, "Oh, it's so hard, people always having a go at me." And one of the young girls there, a 15-year-old girl, said, "No, it's pretty easy for me to be a Christian at school. Because people just say to me, oh, if that's what you want to believe, that's fine. I respect that. Just not what I believe." Well, when I was at school, when I told people I was a Christian, they beat me up. So that's a shift, isn't it? It's interesting that that's a shift. Now, it's just as hard to reach out with the gospel, but it's a different kind of hard. Right, so that's relativism. I think there's a growth in individualism. You know, it's all about me. It's all about what's good for me. I think you see that in some of the challenges with sexual ethics. You see it in some of the challenges in other moral issues. If it's good for me, that's all that matters. That's my measure. And I think there's an increase in cross-border immigration too. This is just an observation. I haven't got evidence to back it up. I'm sure you could find evidence. But I increasingly will go to a church around Europe and find that it's full of people from all over the place. In a way that I'm 54, so I've got a bit of life in me, but a bit of time as well. And I think probably 30 years ago, I didn't experience that. I see that in my own church. I went recently, in this network last year, I met a pastor from Mallorca, one of the islands in the Mediterranean, who I've become very friendly with. I meet up with him once a week online. And he's from mainland Spain. He's married to an Italian, and he's ministering in Mallorca. And that sort of combination, I think that's increasingly common. What is going down? I think what I've called Christianism, I haven't called it Christianity, because I think it's not been Christianity for a long time, but Christianism, where essentially a lot of the laws and the principles on which our countries were founded were often Christian, not always, but often, and that's been declining away. That's certainly the case in parts of Western Europe. And I think what's on the decline is atheism, interestingly, by which I mean that really strong, almost... Do you know what I mean by evangelical atheism? You know, people wanting to stand up and shout and say, you must believe this. I think that's declining, actually, in the last 5 years. And then actually, and this you can back up, wealth is decreasing in Europe. I think just above my generation, the statistics are that will be the wealthiest generation across Europe. Owning houses, doing very well out of house prices growing and places becoming more affluent in the sort of 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. But there's plenty of evidence for showing that's now going to decline and a younger generation won't be able to afford houses and cars and all sorts of things like that. So actually wealth is in a strange way is declining. That's quite easy to prove. So I think that's the context in Europe generally. When we ask these kinds of questions about context, we're not just doing it because we're interested. We're not just sociologists thinking about the area. We're always trying to answer this question. How does this impact gospel work? Not everything about our context does impact gospel work, or not in the same way, to the same level. But what we're trying to get to the bottom of is what kind of place do we live in, and how does that shape how we do ministry, how we reach out with the gospel, how do we build up those who are already believers.